As Gian makes his way up to the lectern, I want to just lift up that we're not going to read the scripture today because it is quite lengthy, and because Gian and I are going to really cover everything that's in the scripture and are sharing with you this morning. During Advent season this year, we're going to be doing encounters with angels. And so we will be looking at the Advent stories and Christmas stories that involve angels. And we'll also just be reflecting in our own lives and in our own hearts, because several of you and many people outside of this church have shared angel encounters with me. And so I hope that we will continue to do this as this season moves forth. And the very first angel that we encounter in the Advent story is actually when the angel comes to Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, the priest. And so we will kind of share that story with you today as a dual sermon. And I will be speaking to you as Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary. And Gian will be speaking to you as her husband, Zechariah, who is the priest, and who also tradition says was very important in Mary's life as she grew up. So we hope that this will speak to your hearts as it has spoken to us as we have put it together. I wanted to be a mother ever since I can remember. As a girl, I always imagined myself as a woman with many children running all around. We would have a large, happy family. But then year after year, no children came. Zechariah and I prayed for a child. And even though I knew Sarah and Hannah had their prayers answered, I began to believe that I would die a widow and childless. Zechariah encouraged me to have faith and keep praying. God works miracles, he said to me. But the truth was, he was an old man, and I was not getting any younger. We had a nice life. Zechariah was a priest, like his father and like my father. We had a lovely home and plenty to eat, large extended family, good health. Many people around us had none of these things. Most people were hungry and sick, homeless, and without community. So I had a lot of guilt for not feeling fulfilled and happy. But I couldn't stop wanting to be a mother. On the day that everything changed, I gave Zechariah a kiss and said, "May God bless you," and sent him on his way to the temple. He had to go early because he had been given the great honor and blessing of lighting the incense to God in the holy place of the temple. Priests were chosen by lot, and rarely did a priest receive this honor more than once in their life. So it was a big day for my husband. We were both very happy and full of joy. I sat out with other family members and friends just a little later. It was a beautiful sunny day, which matched my mood. As we approached the temple, the men went on ahead. They gathered in the first courtyard outside the holy place. I made my way to the front of the second courtyard, which is where the women stood. So I hoped that I would at least be able to see my husband when he came out after lighting the incense. A priest began the worship by chanting a psalm and then led the crowd in prayer. We prayed and we sang and prayed and prayed and prayed. But Zechariah did not appear. I could feel the impatience in the crowd. Something must have happened to Zechariah. Had he fallen? Was he in trouble? I prayed that God would deliver him safely back to me. And soon after, I heard a murmur going through the crowd, and I looked up and I saw my husband had come outside. He looked different, changed. Something major had happened.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The priestly duties were decided by lot, you see. And that day, I was the priest chosen to offer the incense on the altar, the beautiful altar made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. It sat right before the veil that led into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. The fire on the altar had been brought into the sanctuary from the altar of burnt offerings. The smell of incense was overpowering, but it was also beautiful. It reminded me of where I was, of what I was doing. It reminded me of my calling. I was preparing to place the incense on the fire, to let the prayers of the people ascend to God with smoke. And in this place, so close to the presence of God, something happened. Even amid something so holy, something happened to make it seem mundane. There was a strange energy in the room. At first, I thought it was just a feeling of being so close to God. The feeling of this new and special experience of offering on the altar of incense. But then I looked up. An angel of the Lord had appeared to the right of the altar. I was overcome with fear. I could not move. I could hear my heart practically beating out of my chest. This was something I had never experienced before. And honestly, I hoped I would never experience it again. The room was glowing with a white hot light. I was drenched with sweat. My mouth was dry as a bone. I felt as though I might throw up. Everyone was waiting outside, eager for me to emerge from the temple. But I could not move or even say a word. How could I? But the angel said to me, "Do not be afraid." I appreciated the sentiment, but I can't say the angel's words helped. The angel told me our prayers had been heard, and that they would be answered. We will have a son, and his name will be John, which means God is gracious. The angel said many will rejoice at my son's birth. He will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will be a Nazarite and will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. John, our son, will bring many people of Israel back to the Lord. As the angel was telling me this, I couldn't believe a word. I was old. How could I possibly have a child? But the angel proclaimed, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. But now, because you do not believe my words, you will become mute." How could any of this be? I tried to cry out, but no sound came. All I wanted that day was to have the honor of doing my priestly duty. I was nervous enough with that responsibility. But then I couldn't even speak. And on top of that, I learned that we were to have a son. And Elizabeth, I had to tell her what happened. We were to have a son. Overcome with fear and worry, I rushed and stumbled out of the temple. My legs were like jelly. I felt like I had drunk too much wine. My face was white, my heart still beating out of my chest. I just wanted to find Elizabeth. The crowd expected me to pronounce the blessing over the people, but they immediately knew something was wrong. Unable to speak, I tried to signal to the other priests and the men in the courtyard. All I could do was to motion to myself and back into the temple, trying as hard as I could to convey what had happened.
After we got home, I went to get us some fresh bread and olive oil and grabbed a jug of wine. I knew Zechariah must be hungry, and I knew he would never tell me anything until he calmed down. We ate in silence, but as we sat together, I could feel him relax. The peaceful man I married came back to me. After a while, I looked in his eyes and I asked him if he was okay. He nodded yes. I hate to admit it, but I was scared. My husband was mute. I would never again hear his voice telling me he loved me. And how would he fulfill his priestly duties without speaking? But as I looked into his eyes, I felt his peace wash over me. He mouthed, "It's going to be okay." And I knew he was right. But then he took my hands in his, and through a combination of mouthing words and making gestures, he said that we were going to have a baby. "What?" I said. I felt the drain, blood drain from my head and face. My husband had lost his mind. Maybe he had fallen, or it had a stroke. "No, honey," I said, "I can't get pregnant." But he nodded yes and pointed to my stomach and folded his arms like we do to hold a baby. He said an angel had told him so and struck him mute when he questioned it. He said our son was being sent by God to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. We were to name him John, the angel said. It took a while to interpret this entire message, and then a new fear washed over me. What was I going to do? What would people say? I was not Sarah or Hannah. I didn't even know how to be a mother, let alone a mother to a child with the spirit and power of Elijah. They say the longest journey you can travel is from your head to your heart. It took 5 months for my heart to fully grasp and accept what was happening. I did not leave home during that time and stayed in a constant state of prayer. Of course, everyone knew very quickly that Zechariah had had a divine encounter. Word spread very fast that he had lost his ability to speak and that the angel said we would have a child. So it wasn't long before friends started coming by the house to check on us. They brought food and encouraged us. Their visits and their spirit of congratulations slowly took away the disgrace I had endured for so long as a barren woman. My cousin Mary came shortly after I came out of my time of confinement. She had also heard the exciting news, but not through the grapevine. She heard it from an angel. As soon as I heard Mary's voice, her beautiful voice, the child in my womb leapt like a goat in the field. It was quite dramatic, and I was overcome in that moment by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I knew in my heart of hearts that Mary was carrying God's son. The words that came out of my mouth were not my words, so they must have been from God. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I was overwhelmed with emotion as I realized that I was standing in the presence of the unborn Messiah. Mary ended up staying with us for 3 months, and I'll be forever grateful to God for that time. Mary and I grew very close. We took care of each other and shared all our hopes and fears for our sons. We laughed and we cried. We ate together and prayed together. It was a very holy time. Mary hoped to stay with me until my son was born, but he took his sweet time and she had to get back home. His birth went very smoothly. He was beautiful. He was perfect in every way. And I'll never forget the feeling I had when I first held him in my arms. Zechariah and I were both crying because our bodies could not contain our joy and happiness. We spent every waking moment his first week of life just staring at him. We could not get over how gorgeous he was, but more importantly, that he was ours. On the eighth day, we went to the temple to circumcise him, as was the custom of our faith. The priest assumed that he would be named after Zechariah. But I interrupted and said, no, he is to be called John. They all started to argue with me and turned to my husband. He confirmed what I said. And as soon as he named our son, his mouth was open, his tongue was freed, and he began to praise God.
I've been able to speak for months. I did my best during this time to be involved as a priest for the people and as a husband for my pregnant wife. On the day John was born, I was overjoyed. Tears openly flowed down my cheeks. Our prayers had been answered. I hugged Elizabeth and the child, and we wept with joy. We were so overcome by this blessing that God had gave us. The eighth day came, and we gathered together for the circumcision and naming of our child. The priest naturally assumed that our son would be named Zechariah, after me. But I asked for a tablet to write on, and I wrote, "His name is John." People were shocked, for this was very unusual. But it was what the angel said to me on that day 9 months ago, and the angel was right. Elizabeth did bear a son. Of course, his name will be what the angel said. God has truly been gracious to us. As I showed the tablet with the name of our sons, everyone gathered. Suddenly, I could speak again. My tongue was free. And at this point, all I could do was praise God. I was overcome with joy. They were all amazed that my voice had returned. And fear began to spread through our community. Suddenly, everyone was talking about what had happened. Zechariah the priest, who was mute, had regained his voice and immediately began praising God. Who will this child of his be? In the midst of my joy, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I began to prophesy. From the mouths of our prophets, we've been told, the Lord our God was raising up a mighty Savior from the house of David. God has been so good to us. God has been faithful to deliver us from our enemies. God has remembered the holy covenant made with our ancestors, so that we can live in the divine presence without fear, in holiness and righteousness. I continue to prophesy and to say that John, my son, will be called the prophet of the Most High. He will prepare the way of the Lord, the son of David, our Messiah. As this story comes to a close, I can still vividly remember that day in the temple when my life was changed forever. An encounter with an angel is not something you forget. The image of them standing there to the right of your altar is still burned in my mind. As are the words they spoke to me. At the time, I was so afraid. But now, as I look back, I remember it fondly. It served as a reminder to me that God is faithful. God listens to us. Even when we do not think our prayers are heard, God is gracious.